Lily's afternoon with Lawrence Selden had been idyllic. She could not have explained the buoyancy which seemed to lift her off her feet. She and Lawrence had reached a danger point in their dawning intimacy, and she felt herself on the brink of a great discovery. But the moment when she glimpsed the carriage which instinct told her carried Percy Gryce away from Bellamont, that moment dragged her back to earth. After a restless night, she was not surprised to find a note from her hostess on her breakfast tray, and she knew that she must now account for her behavior the previous day.
We could none of us imagine you putting up with Gryce unless you meant to marry him. Everyone played fair because they wanted to help the thing along. You don't take sugar, do you?
No, thanks.
Even Bertha kept her hands off, I will say that. Until Lawrence came down and you dragged him away from her. If you had a grudge against Bertha, it was a stupid time to show it, Lily. I told you she was dangerous.
Yes. Yes, you did.
She was in an odious mood when she came here. But Lawrence's turning up put her in a good humor. And if you'd only let her think he'd come for her, it would never have occurred to her to play you this trick.
Dear Judith.
Believe me, Lily, you'll never do anything if you're not serious.
I only took a day off.
A day, Lily? But what a day. Are you mad?
I thought he, Gryce, meant to stay on all this week, and I knew Selden was leaving this morning.
Gryce did mean to stay. That's the worst of it. It shows that he's run away from you. Bertha's done her work and poisoned him thoroughly against you.
What was it that Bertha really told him?
Don't ask me. Horrors. She seems to have raked up everything.
Everything? My dear Judy, you speak as if I had a very colorful past.
You know what I mean. Of course there isn't anything, really. But I suppose she brought in Prince Verigliano and Lord Hubert. And Carrie says there was some story of your having borrowed money from old Ned Van Alstyne. Did you ever?
Oh, he's my father's cousin.
Well, of course she left that out. Anyhow, he obviously told someone who told Bertha. Men do talk, you know.
It was the money I lost at bridge at the Van Osbergs. I repaid it, of course.
Ah, they wouldn't remember that. Besides, it was the idea of a gambling debt that frightened Percy. Bertha knew her man. She knew just what to tell him.
Mrs. Trenor continued to admonish her friend in this strain, and her words went deeper than she knew. She joined the lunch table in a subdued mood.
Ah, how few of us are left.
I hope you won't be bored, Bertha.
Certainly not. I do so enjoy the quiet. Don't you, Lily? I wish the men would always stay away. It's really much nicer without them.
No, hold on, old girl.
Oh, you don't count, George. Oh. One doesn't have to talk to one's husband.
I'm glad you're here, George.
Thank you, my dear.
I'm glad he's here, too. Hmm? I need someone to keep me company.
But I thought Mr. Gryce was to stay for the rest of the week. Didn't he intend to, Judy?
Yes, I believe he did.
He's such a nice boy. I wonder what drove him away.
He said something about some business he had to attend to.
I think perhaps we may have shocked him. He has been brought up in such an old-fashioned way, hasn't he? Do you know, Lily, he told me he had never seen a girl play cards for money until he saw you do it the other night.
I hope he never has to face anything more shocking than that.
It seems he actually lives on the interest of his income and always has a lot more to invest.
Fortunate man. As a matter of fact, Bertha, Lily played that night because I asked her to make up the numbers.
Really? I thought she always used to play.
I do believe it's someone's duty to educate that young man. Oh. He has never been made to realize his duties as a citizen.
Were you thinking of taking him in hand, Carrie? I think he has at least studied the divorce laws. He told me that he had promised the bishop to sign some sort of petition against divorce.
Poor devil.
He seems to have told you a great deal, Bertha.
I'm sure I don't see why you all laugh at him. I think he's very nice.
You're right, Gwen. He is nice.
Well, at any rate, a girl who married him would have enough to be comfortable.
Comfortable? Oh, dear Gwen.
Has everyone finished?
Yes, I have.
Oh, dear.
George, word with you.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I'm really glad you
finished. Not more dinner cards to write.
No, it's just this. If you have nothing special to do, may I tell Carrie Fisher that you intend to drive to the station and fetch Gus?
Oh, of course, Judy. I'd be glad to.
He'll be back at 4, and I know that she has it in her mind to meet him. And she's so keen about going to fetch him that I fancy she must have got a lot more bills this morning. It seems to me that most of her alimony is paid by other women's husbands.
On her way to the station, Lily had leisure to muse on her friend's words and their particular application to herself. Before she had reached the station, she had decided to leave Bellamont the next morning and join her aunt at Richfield.
It's a rare pleasure for me, Lily.
For me too, Gus.
My wife sent you. Now, didn't she?
If she did, it's because Judy thinks I'm the safest person for you to be with. And she's quite right.
Well, she's all right. Oh, if she is, it's because she knows you wouldn't waste your time with an old hulk like me. We married men have to put up with what we can get. All the prizes are for the clever chaps who've kept a free foot.
What nonsense you talk.
Let's join here, Lily. I'd like to light a cigar. Had a beastly day.
Of course. What? Poor Gus. I'm sorry you're tired. Did you have a lot of tiresome things to do?
I should think so. You don't know how a fellow has to hustle to get a place like Bellamont going. Judy has no idea how much she spends. My parents used to live like fighting cocks on their income. They put by a good bit of it, luckily for me. The pace we're going on, I don't know what we should do if it weren't for taking a flyer now and again.
A flyer? What does that mean?
Well, hang it all. A man has to keep his eyes and ears open and pick up all the tips he can. Not that I ought to complain today. I did a very neat stroke of business, thanks to Stepney's friend.
Jack's friend?
Yeah. You know, Simon Rosedale? Damn clever fella.
I wish you wouldn't speak of him as Jack's friend.
In heaven's name, why not?
But you know, Jack did try to take him about, and he was impossible.
Oh, hang it. Because he's fat and shiny and has the wrong manner. But he'll learn. I tell you, Lily, the people who are clever enough to be civil to him now... we'll make a mighty good thing of it. You mark my words.
Lily's thoughts had taken a new turn. She could not imagine herself stooping to extract what Trenor called a tip from Rosedale. But it struck her that here at her side was a man who, as the husband of her dearest friend, stood to her in a relation of almost fraternal intimacy. In the circumstances, surely she could appeal to him for help. And she began by telling him that she had been... out of spirits all day.
Out of spirits? Why on earth should a beautiful girl like you ever be out of spirits? Is your last box of Worth dresses a failure? Or did Judy rook you of everything last night at bridge?
I'm serious, Gus. I have no new dresses and I've had to give up bridge. I simply can't afford it. In fact, I can't afford any of the things my friends do. And I'm not as smartly dressed as the other women.
My dear girl, you knock all the other women into a cocked hat, and well, you know it.
You're very comforting, but it doesn't help me out of my predicament.
Well, if I can help in any way.
The fact is that I want you to do me a favor, the very greatest of favors.
Well, of course. If there's anything I can manage.
Judy is angry with me, and I want you to make my peace.
Oh, come, this is nonsense. Why, you know she's devoted to you.
She is the best friend I have, and that is why I mind having to vex her. I expect you know what she's wanted me to do. She has set her heart on my marrying money, marrying a great deal of money.
A great deal of money? By Jove, you don't mean Grice. Well, you do.
You mustn't tell anyone.
But Grice... good Lord, Grice. Did Judy really think you could bring yourself to marry that little ass? But of course you couldn't. Oh, so that's the reason why you departed so abruptly. How on earth did Judy think you would consider such a thing? I could have told her you'd never put up with such a little milksop. I could have told her.
No, I can't make that kind of marriage.
Well, that's impossible.
But neither can I go on living as all the women in my set do. I'm almost entirely dependent on my aunt. And though she's very kind to me, she makes me no regular allowance. She'd be shocked if she knew I'd lost money at cards, and I don't dare to tell her about it.
My dear, I don't want to pry, but have you no money of your own?
I have a tiny income, but I think it must be badly invested, for it seems to bring in less every year.
Well, that's absurd.
But I'm so ignorant that I don't know if my aunt's agent is a good advisor.
An investment that brings in less every year? Look here, Lily, if you would like to put yourself into my hands, I think I can make you a decent sum without endangering your small income. Trust me.
Dear Gus, I know I can trust you. Such a relief to feel I have a friend.
The first $1,000 check which Lily received from Gus Trenor enabled her to pay sops to her tradesmen, and a fresh order accompanied each payment. Was not this what her mother had always done? She was reassured by the ease with which she kept Gus in a good humor, and Judy obviously assumed that Lily's friendship with her husband was her way of returning her own kindness.
I'm glad you and Gus have become such friends. It's delightful of you to be so nice to him and put up with all his stories. I had to listen to them when we were engaged, and I'm sure he's telling the same one still.
Judy, dear, you sound as if you were never in love with him.
Oh, well. The fact is, I'm a more practical person than you, Lily. I should not have let Percy Grice slip through my grasp, for instance.
I envy you.
In some ways, I envy you. But how will you end up?
That's something I can't answer.
I'm grateful that for the moment you have saved Gus from Carrie Fisher.
In what way?
I usually invite Carrie in order to keep him in a good humor. Didn't you realize that?
No, I didn't.
She's a perfect vulture, you know. And she hasn't the least moral sense.
Are you thinking about her divorces?
No. Her divorces are her own affairs. But she's always getting Gus to speculate for her. I wouldn't mind that so much. But I'm sure she never pays him when she loses.
I can't think of her as really wicked.
Can't you? You're naive, Lily.
But why should she lose? I mean, if Gus is advising her.
No one wins all the time on the stock market. Surely you know that.
What a pity that money is so important.
Are you really thinking of leaving us tomorrow? Gus said something about your aunt wanting you to go back.
I think it's best, Judy. I've already left my aunt for too long, and to be honest, I can't afford to stay.
You mean because of playing cards for money?
For all sorts of reasons. But we'll meet again soon, at Cousin Jack's wedding, if not before.
Is it true that you declined to be a bridesmaid?
Yes, on the grounds that I'm so much taller than the others. The truth is, I have attended too many brides to the altar.
And whose fault is that?
It's rather consoling to know that dear Jack may be secure at last.
I only hope the Van Osburghs have tied the money up so that Jack can get his hands on it.
I know Cousin Jack better than you do, Judy. And I'm quite sure he wouldn't marry Gwen Van Osburgh without making sure of his portion. Besides, if Gwen really loves him, why shouldn't she share her fortune? There will be certainly enough for both of them.
Enough for what Gwen calls comfortable. I hope she may never see through him.
When Jack isn't hard up, he can be very charming, you know.
I grant you his charm. It runs in your family. But he makes more use of it than you do.
The Van Osburgh marriage had been described in advance as a simple country wedding. In the event, the church was packed with fashion and festooned with orchids. The guests had been conveyed in special trains, and representatives of the press threaded their way among the rich and great. As Lily later made her way through the reception room, she caught sight of Percy Grice, and her mood was buoyant enough to make her feel confident of winning him back to her side. A glimpse of Selden's dark head slightly disturbed her complacency. She turned away and met the gaze of her friend Gertrude Farish.
Lily, dear, I never saw you look so lovely.
Thank you, Gertie. How lovely everything is.
Yes, indeed.
I always say no one does things better than Cousin Grace.
Shall we make our way to the buffet table? Oh,
I'm
hungry.
Oh, no, it's all right. Oh, it's all right.
Everything looks absolutely delicious. I made up my mind weeks ago that I wouldn't miss this wedding.
But Judy, how much should she miss it?
After all, it's a family affair. Well, I don't fit in with grandeur.
You're too modest. Please don't spend all your energies in philanthropy and symphony concerts.
You are entitled to other pleasures.
Well, it all fell out so delightfully because of Cousin Lawrence.
Lawrence Selden?
Yes. You see, when Lawrence heard I was coming here, he insisted on fetching me himself and driving me to the station. And when we go back this evening, I'm going to dine with him at Sherry's.
How very nice.
I really feel as excited as if I were getting married myself.
Do have some of this lobster and mousse with champagne sauce. It's quite delicious and so very light. It won't interfere with your dinner at Sherry's.
Well, just a little. If you don't think it'll go to my head.
Do you see him often, Lawrence, honey?
He's very good about dropping in on Sundays. Now and then we do a play together.
He sounds a very good cousin. Not at all like my cousin Jack.
This wedding brings us closer together, Lily. Your cousin marrying my cousin. Isn't it lovely?
Champagne, madam.
Thank you. Won't you have one, Judy?
No more, thanks.
I saw Lawrence in the church. I can't see him now in this crowd.
Well, he's here somewhere. I'm worried about him, Lily.
He doesn't look well.
No. No. He seems nervous and unsettled. I do wish he'd marry some nice girl. I told him so today.
And what did he say to that?
He said he didn't care for really nice girls, and the others didn't care for him. But that was just his joke, of course. He could never marry a girl that wasn't nice.
No, I suppose not.
Do let's go and look at the wedding presents. Or would it bore you?
Of course not. I love the pretty things. And that will be a
Lily and her companion moved into the room in which the bride's presents were displayed, and Lily's heart gave an envious throb as she caught the reflection of light from the milky gleam of perfectly matched pearls, the flash of rubies, the intense blue rays of sapphires kindled into light by surrounding diamonds.
Oh, my dear! Did you ever see such pearls?
They're very beautiful.
But look at this diamond pendant. It's as big as a dinner plate. You can't get it.
Obviously, someone very rich. I expect the name is on the card.
Yes, of course. Here it is. Mr. Simon Rosedale.
What?
That horrid man?
By Jove, Lily, you do look astonished.
We've been admiring the presents. Oh, don't go, Gertrude.
Oh, never mind about her. You made up your mind which of these little trinkets you mean to duplicate at Tiffany's tomorrow? I've got a check for you in my pocket. It'll go a long way in that line.
Another dividend?
Well, not exactly. I sold out on the rise. I pulled out 4,000 for you. Not so bad for a beginner, huh?
Don't talk so loudly, Gus.
Yeah, I suppose you'll begin to think you're a pretty knowing speculator. Perhaps you won't think poor old Gus such an awful ass as some people do.
I think you're the kindest of friends, but I can't thank you properly now.
And thanking me, I don't want to be thanked. I should like the chance to say a word to you now and then. I thought you were going to spend the whole autumn with us up at Bellarmine. I've hardly set eyes on you for the last month. Why can't you come back to Bellarmine this evening? We're all alone. Judy is as cross as 2 sticks. Do come and cheer a fellow up.
I wish I could, but it's quite impossible.
Why? I'll run you over in the motor. You can telephone your maid to bring your traps from town by the next train.
I'm sorry, Gus, but my aunt has come to town, and I must be with her for the next few days.
I understand you. Since we became such friends, I've seen a good deal less of you than I did when you were Judy's friend.
Judy's friend? Am I not still her friend? Really, you say the most absurd things. If I were always at Bellarmine, you'd soon tire of me.
That's you that's absurd.
Come and see me at my aunt's the next afternoon you're in town. Then we can have a nice, quiet talk, and you can tell me how to invest my fortune.
Damn your aunt.
Really, Gus?
Oh, sorry, I'm good. You're just so hard on a fella. Besides, I don't know that I can promise a fresh tip every day.
Never mind about that. Of course, I shall be glad to see you anyway.
There's one thing you can do for me.
What's that?
Well, it's quite a small thing. Just be a little civil to Rosedale.
Rosedale?
Judy has promised to have him dine when we come to town, but I can't induce her to have him up at Bellarmine.
I can understand that.
He admires her enormously. If you would just let me bring him up now, it would make such a lot of difference. I don't believe 2 women have spoken to him this afternoon. And I can tell you he's a chap it pays to be decent to.
Oh, bring him up by all means.
perhaps I can get a tip out of him on my own account.
Yeah, I say, you know, I mean to say, please remember, he's a blooming bounder.
It's very hot in here. I think I'll go out onto the terrace.
Miss Bard.
Mr. Selden. It was so hot indoors.
This is luck. I hoped I'd be able to have a word with you before the special snatches us away. I came with Gertrude.
Yes, she told me.
I promised not to let her miss the train, but I'm sure she's still extracting sentimental solace from the wedding presents.
You mustn't let her linger too long over them.
Lily, that last afternoon at Bellamont...
Yes?
I was...
Really? I thought you'd give me the slip.
I told you I was coming out on the terrace.
Yeah, Rosedale and I have been hunting all over for you. Oh, hello, Selden.
Mr. Selden and I have just had a stroll in the cooler air.
How delightful you look, Miss Bard. Upon my word, I never saw a more ripping outfit. Don't you agree, Selden? Is that the latest creation of the dressmaker you go to see at the Benedict? If so, I wonder all the other women though go to it, too.
It's getting late. I must go and say goodbye to our hostess. Goodbye, Mr. Selden.
Gus Trenor had turned away, and as Lily followed him indoors with Rosedale strutting at her side, she sensed Selden's surprise that she should number Rosedale among her acquaintances. And yet, under her anger at the perverseness of things, she did not mean to leave without discovering the truth about Percy Grice.
Shall we look for our hostess, Mr. Rosedale?
Gus.
People are beginning to leave. Oh, there you are, Gus. Have you seen Mrs. Anne Osberg? I've hardly had a word with her all afternoon.
I can see her. She's coming this way now.
Dear Mrs. Van Osburgh.
Lily, dear.
What a wonderful wedding. You must be quite exhausted. But it has been truly lovely.
Oh, Lily, I'm sorry I haven't had time for a word.
I'm not surprised. You could hardly have time for conversation with anyone. But you must be very proud of your efforts.
I do think it went rather well.
You're too modest. It was absolutely splendid.
By the way, dear, have you seen Evie?
Not since the ceremony.
I know she was looking for you. She wanted to tell you her little secret. But I dare say you've guessed it already.
Her secret?
We're all so excited. It's about her engagement.
Really?
It's not to be announced till next week. But you're such a friend of Mr. Grice's that they both wish you to be among the first to know of their happiness.
The train journey back to town was not calculated to soothe Lily's nerves. Though Evie Van Osburgh's engagement was still officially a secret, it was one of which the many intimate friends of the family were already possessed. The group in the train buzzed with allusions, and Lily was aware of her own part in the drama of innuendo, and she was beginning to feel the strain by the time she reached her aunt's house. She was met at the door by the smell of furniture polish, and on the way up to her room, a woman cleaning the staircase barred her way. A woman whose rude stare stirred in her an unpleasant memory. Later that evening, a parlourmaid announced that a Mrs. Haffen was asking to see Miss Bart.
You asked to see me? What do you wish to say to me?
I have something that you might like to see, Miss Bart.
You have found something belonging to me?
Well, if it comes to that, I guess it's mine as much as anybody's.
I don't understand. If it's not something of mine, why are you here?
My husband was janitor at the Benedict here the first of the month.
The Benedict?
Since then, he can't find nothing to do. It wasn't no fault of ours, neither. The agent had another man he wanted the place for, and we was put out bag and baggage just to suit his fancy.
Do you want me to ask my aunt, Mrs. Peniston, to help you?
It had a long sickness last winter and an operation that ate up all we had put by. It's hard for me and the children. Haffen being so long out of work, I mean.
Mrs. Haffen, what is it you want of me? I'm sorry you've been in trouble, but...
Oh, you're that we have, miss, and it's only just beginning.
If you would just explain.
Yeah, miss, I'm coming to that. Can I sit down?
Yes, of course.
Then we was at the Benedict. I had charge of some of the gentlemen's rooms.
Well?
The least ways I swept them out on Saturdays. Their waste paper baskets would be fairly brimming over. Papers falling on the floor. Some of them is worse than others.
How does this concern me?
Mr. Selden now, Mr. Lawrence Selden. Well, he was always one of the carefulest. Burnt his letters in winter and tore them into little bits in the summer. Ever such a nice gentleman he is.
Mrs. Hatton, please.
Well, sometimes he'd have so many, he'd just bunch them together and tear the whole lot through. Just once. Like this, Miss Bart.
As Mrs. Hatton spoke, she loosened the string from the parcel in her hand and laid a letter on the table. It had been torn in two, and she laid the edges together and smoothed out the page. The letter was short, and the few words which leapt into Lily's brain before she was conscious of reading them told a history of importuning. She stared at the pages, completely puzzled. She understood only that the letter was written by Bertha Dorset, presumably to Lawrence Selden.
I know nothing of these letters. I have no idea why I brought them here.
I'll tell you why, miss. I brought them to you to sell.
To sell to me? But why?
Because I ain't got no other way of getting money. And if we don't pay our rent by tomorrow night, we'll be put out. Never done anything of this kind before. And if you'd speak to Mr. Selden or Mr. Rosedale about getting Hatton taken on again at the Benedict... seen you talking to Mr. Rosedale on the steps that day you came out of Mr. Selden's rooms.
What do you wish me to pay you?
$500 should see us through.
I have no intention of paying you such a sum.
Oh, we need money to tide us over till Hatton gets an opening. And then there's the children.
I'll give you $250.
I guess they're worth more to you than to me, miss, but the poor has got to live as well as the rich.
I have offered all that I am willing to give for the letters. You are engaged in a dangerous traffic, and I might find other ways of getting them.
I am a Christian woman, miss. I have never been mixed up in such a business before. All me and Heaven was thinking was that you wouldn't like the letters to go no further.
Lily suddenly understood. Mrs. Hatton supposed her to be the writer of the letters. She could not remember afterwards how long the duel lasted, nor what was the decisive stroke which put her in possession of the letters. Bertha Dorset's letters were nothing to her, but Lawrence Selden was inextricably involved in their fate. Therefore, she must obtain possession of them. She regarded it as her duty to destroy them, as Selden himself had obviously intended to. Unfortunately, Mrs. Peniston's grate was never lit, except when there was company, and Lily was about to carry the packet of letters up to her room when her aunt entered the drawing room.
I saw a streak of light as I drove up. It's quite extraordinary that I can never teach that woman to draw the curtains evenly. There. That's better, isn't it?
Yes, aunt.
My dear, you look tired.
Yes. I am tired.
I expect it's the excitement of the wedding. Cornelia Van Alstyne was full of it. Molly, that nice daughter of hers, was there. And Gertrude Farish ran in for a minute to tell us about it. I do think it was odd their serving melon before the consommé. A wedding breakfast should always begin with consommé. Molly didn't care for the bridesmaids' dresses. What did you think of them?
I'm sorry, Aunt. I can't quite remember.
Really, Lily, I don't know why you took the trouble to go to the wedding if you don't remember anything about it. Molly Van Alstyne reminds me of myself at her age. She was able to tell her mother exactly how the wedding dress was cut, and we knew at once from the fold in the back that it must have come from Paquin.
Yes, I believe it did.
Did you speak to Mrs. Dorset?
To Bertha? No, I saw her in the distance, but there were a great many people, Aunt.
Molly said she was the best-dressed woman at the wedding. It seems she was in tremendous spirits and said that she had made the match between Evie Van Osburgh and Percy Grice. Of course, Grace is in a seventh heaven. She had almost despaired of marrying Evie off.
I'm not surprised.
That's rather unkind, but no doubt you feel a little sore.
What do you mean?
It seems there was quite a lot of talk when you and Grice stayed with the Trenors of Bellamont. Alice Weatherall told Cornelia that she was quite sure there was an engagement. Though, of course, you never mention such a thing to me.
People talk a lot of nonsense, Aunt. You know that.
Well, Alice Weatherall said that when Mr. Grice left unexpectedly one morning, they all thought he'd rushed to town to buy the ring.
I really am tired, Aunt. I think I'll go to bed.
Very well, dear.
Good night.
I still think it was quite extraordinary to serve melon before the consommé.
It was very good melon, Aunt.
My dear Lily, that is not the point.
It had been Lily's intention to destroy the letters, but when the morning came, she remembered that she had not done so. And with the memory of her aunt's corrosive words and the vision of Bertha Dorset holding her up to ridicule among their circle, her spirits were at a low ebb. She rose from her bed, and not pausing to analyze her own motives, she tied and sealed the packet and deposited it in her dispatch box. It struck her with a flash of irony that she was indebted to Gus Trenor for the means of buying off a woman who was virtually a blackmailer. And she decided to spend the rest of the money in more pleasant ways.
It's very tempting.
Oh, I know you're a taste for it. And it's just the sort of cake a lady like yourself would find very useful.
Yes, I know. Perhaps you could serve someone else while I make up my mind.
Lily!
Oh, Gertie!
How nice to see you.
You've arrived just in time. Thank you for all your trouble. I'll come in again soon.
What did you mean about my arriving just in time?
I might have done something very stupid.
In what way stupid?
In a way that you never could be. So what are you doing here? Not on one of your errands of mercy, surely.
I've just been to a committee meeting in connection with one of my charities, and as I happened to be passing, I brought my watch in to have it repaired.
I felt sure you must be doing something practical.
Don't tease me, Lily. You can't imagine how dejected I feel.
You dejected? Oh, poor Gertie. Tell me what's upset you. Can I help in any way?
This charity, in which I'm especially interested, provides lodgings with a reading room and a few other comforts where young women in downtown offices may find a home when out of work.
Yes, I remember. You told me about it. It seems such a good idea.
It is a good idea. Believe me, Lily, it is. But I was shocked this morning, absolutely shocked. It seems there's practically no money left.
So what will happen?
Well, the rest of the committee members seem to think we should have to abandon the scheme.
Oh, how dreadful. After all your year's work.
Yes. It's very sad. The people just don't seem to be interested, so what can we do?
Perhaps if you spend a little money on publicity.
Publicity is very expensive, Lily.
You must let me help you with that at least. Look, take this for the moment, and I'll try and let you have some more later on.
Lily, dear, are you sure you can spare it? I know you have difficulties of your own.
Do you remember I said you'd arrive just in time? Well, you helped me resist a temptation, and I'm glad I did. I rarely resist temptation.
You always underestimate yourself.
I don't think so. But I believe I resisted it today just in order to be able to help now.
How generous you are, Lily.
Lily left the shop feeling unusually virtuous. She had denied herself the purchase of an elegant dressing case and had earned the gratitude of her friend. She had sometimes been bored by Gertrude's philanthropic pursuits, but the satisfaction she now felt made her wonder whether this was the spur which sustained Gertrude in her care for others. Later that day, she received an invitation from Carrie Fisher to spend Thanksgiving week in the Adirondacks, which she accepted with enthusiasm. What could be better than an escape from her aunt's house and the attentions of Gus Trenor?
I'm very glad you had that week in the country, Lily. It seems to have done you a world of good. You look very much better than you did.
I feel much better, Aunt. I really enjoyed the fresh air and the exercise.
But who are these people, the Wellington Brys? I thought the invitation came from Mrs. Carrie Fisher.
Yes, it did. It's a little complicated, you see. Mrs. Bry was our hostess, but Carrie organized the arrangements. She's experienced in this way, and I suspect that she invited most of the guests.
It sounds a peculiar arrangement. What is wrong with these Wellington Brys? Are they employing Carrie Fisher?
Well, not exactly.
Mrs. Bry is socially ambitious, and I understand she's given Carrie a free hand. She's more or less launching her.
I don't think I like you being a party to that sort of thing, Lily. The wrong people are getting into society these days.
Everything was very well done. Carrie believes that the best entree into society is a good cook, and she has certainly found Mrs. Bry a splendid one.
But why couldn't this Mrs. Bry have invited her own guests?
The truth is, the people she wanted might not have come.
Including you, perhaps.
Perhaps.
There was a time when you were cautious about accepting invitations from Carrie Fisher.
Times have changed, Aunt.
Well, I advise you to be careful.
Mr. Wellington Bry is very well known on the stock exchange and in sporting circles.
Sporting circles. It has a dubious sound. By the way, who is Mr. Rosedale?
Mr. Rosedale? Why do you ask? What do you know of Mr. Rosedale?
Only that a Mr. Rosedale called while you were away. Who is he?
Did he leave a message?
Simply that he would call again. Who is he?
He's a friend of Cousin Jack's. He was at Jack's wedding.
Is he also in sporting circles?
Yes, Aunt, I believe he is. Jack says he's going to be very important someday.
Coming from Jack, that means he's rich.
Yes, I'm told he is. Jack says he is.
No doubt important on the stock exchange, too.
I expect so. Does it matter, Aunt?
I feel you are mixing with some dangerous people, Lily.
A few days later, Mr. Rosedale called. He came late, at the confidential hour when the tea table still lingers by the fire, and his manner was vaguely intimate. Lily, who suspected that he was somehow connected with her lucky speculations, tried to make him welcome, but there was something in his geniality which chilled her own.
How do you take your tea, Mr. Rosedale? Milk and sugar?
Milk, please, and no sugar. What a delightful room this is. Thank you. The reason I called today, Miss Bright, was to ask you to join my party on the opening night of the opera.
Oh, how kind.
Mrs. Fisher is coming, and I've secured a tremendous admirer of yours who'll never forgive me if you don't accept.
I don't understand you.
Gus Trenor has promised to come to town on purpose for it. I fancy he'd go a good deal further for the pleasure of seeing you.
The Trenors are my best friends, Mr. Rosedale. I think we should all go a long way to see each other. Some more tea?
I wasn't thinking of Mrs. Trenor at the moment, Miss Bart. They say Gus doesn't always, you know.
Will you have some more tea?
No, thank you. How's your luck going on Wall Street, by the way? I hear that Gus pulled off a nice little pile for you last month.
Oh, yes. I had a little money to invest, and Mr. Trenor, who helps me with such matters, advised my putting it in stocks instead of a mortgage, as my aunt's agent wanted me to do. As it happens, I made a lucky turn. Isn't that what you call it? You make a great many lucky turns yourself, I believe.
I see Gus has been talking. Or perhaps your cousin, Jack Stepney?
A great many people talk about you, Mr. Rosedale.
Miss Bart, you haven't said yes or no to my invitation for the first night of the opera.
Thank you very much. I shall be happy to join your party. And I hope very much that Mrs. Trenor will be there. I haven't been to Bellamont for some time, as my aunt needed me here.
Well, we shall see. Thank you for receiving me, and I'm delighted you can be with us.
Rosedale left Lily to a passion of disgust and fear. It seemed incredible that Trenor should have spoken of her to Rosedale. But she recalled that Judy had confided to her that there were convivial moments when Gus talked foolishly. She had not seen Trenor since the day of the Van Arsberg wedding, and in his continued absence, the memory of Rosedale's words was gradually effaced. And when the night of the opera came, the sight of someone of her own set in the Rosedale box was pleasantly reassuring.
I think you know most of my guests, Miss Bright.
Yes, indeed. Lily, dear, isn't this nice? The Wellington Brys have been asking after you. You must visit them again soon. They were so delighted to meet you.
It was a very pleasant week, Carrie.
Oh, hello, Gus. Is Judy not with you? I did so hope she'd be here.
Look here, Lily. How is a fellow ever to see anything of you? I'm in town 2 or 3 days in the week. You know, lying to the club will always find me. You don't seem to remember my existence nowadays unless you want a tip out of me.
I'm very much flattered that you should want to see me, Gus. But unless you have forgotten my address, it would have been easy to find me any afternoon at my aunt's. In fact, I rather expected you to look me up there.
I'm going to your aunt's, listening to a lot of chaps fussing over you.
Lower your voice, Gus.
You know damn well I'm not the kind to sit in a crowd and jaw. I'd always rather clear out when that sort of circus is going on.
Gus, do you think this is quite the time?
The plain English of it is that now you've got what you wanted out of me, you'd rather have any other fellow around.
Don't be foolish, Gus. If you really want to see me alone, why shouldn't we take a walk in the park one afternoon? If you like, I'll meet you there, and we'll go and feed the squirrels. And you shall take me out onto the lake in the steam gondola. What do you say?
All right, then. Will you come tomorrow? Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'll meet you at the end of the mall. You won't go back on me, Lily?
Of course not.
Oh, hang it all. Here comes that fellow Dorset. You're welcome to him. I'm off.
Why don't you stay and talk to us?
He won't want me around. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, Lily, this is nice.
Is Bertha here?
Yes, she's here. In fact, I came over to say that she wants you to come over to our place next Sunday.
Oh.
Do, for heaven's sake, say yes. She's got a lot of bores coming, intellectual ones, I mean. That's her new line, you know, and I'm not sure it ain't worse than the music. That silly ass Silverton writes poetry, you know, and he and Bertha are getting tremendously thick. But if you'll come, I shan't mind about the rest of it.
The gist of this strange communication gave Lily a distinct thrill of pleasure. At another time, there would have been nothing surprising in an invitation from Bertha Dorset. But since the Bellamond incident, an unavowed hostility had kept the two women apart. Now Lily found that her anger had died out. If she had destroyed Bertha's letters to Selden, she might have continued to hate her. But the fact that they remained in her possession seemed to have dispelled her resentment. She smilingly accepted the invitation, seeing in the renewal of the tie an escape from Trenor's importunities.
Well, did you enjoy the opera, Lily?
Very much, Aunt.
Who were the guests in Mr. Rosedale's box? Were they the right sort?
I'm not quite sure I know what you mean by the right sort.
You know perfectly well what I mean.
Well, Carrie Fisher was there, for one.
Carrie Fisher goes everywhere. That means nothing. Is she launching Mr. Rosedale as well as the Wellington bride?
I think Mr. Rosedale can manage quite well on his own.
So, you are reconciled to Mr. Rosedale's presence in society?
Gus Trenor was in the party.
And Mrs. Trenor?
No. Judy hardly ever comes to town, as you know. I was sorry not to see her.
Perhaps she doesn't accept Mr. Rosedale.
Gus tells me she is prepared to invite him to dine when they're in town.
But she won't have him at Bellamont.
No. It seems there's a difference.
Of course there's a difference. What about the Dorsets?
The Dorsets were there, though not in the Rosedale box. George came over to speak to me in the interval.
You mean you didn't speak to Mrs. Dorset?
They were at the other side of the opera house, Aunt. But George came over to bring an invitation from Bertha to their place next weekend.
Some more coffee, dear?
Yes, please, Aunt. It's quite delicious.
It's a new blend I'm trying. I'm glad you like it. So you'll be at the Dorsets next weekend?
I think it's only for a day, Aunt. Probably the Sunday.
Oh, well, no doubt Grace Stephanie will come and sit with me.
No doubt.
Would you prefer that I sit here alone?
Of course not, Aunt.
By the way, you know that Jack Stephanie and his bride will be back from their honeymoon next week.
Yes, I believe so.
I've been thinking about it. And it seems to me that it might be an appropriate gesture if I were to give a dinner party for them. After all, they are family.
That's true, Aunt.
You know how much I dislike these affairs, Lily. They make me quite ill. And I should appreciate your help with the guest list.
Dear Aunt, of course I'll help. Now, how many guests do you think your table will take?
Well, let's count those that we must ask. Jack and Gwen, Mr. and Mrs. Van Osburgh, Evie and Percy Grice. After all, they are engaged. My old friend Mrs. Grice, you and myself, and
As she's family, I thought in this case we ought to have Grace Stepney.
Grace Stepney? Good heavens, Aunt, surely you're not serious. You're having a wedding celebration. It's quite an occasion. And you propose asking a frump like Grace Stepney?
She is Jack's aunt.
But Jack can't stand her. And you know she disapproves of him. In any case, you'll have too many women, which is death to a dinner party.
Make it all sound very difficult.
It's not really difficult, Aunt. It's simply a question of suitability.
I don't know how I should tell Grace that she's not to be included.
You mean you've asked her already?
I did just mention the possibility.
So now you just have to mention the impossibility. Grace Stepney can come any time. She practically lives here. I don't mind standing down myself if it's any help.
Lily, dear, don't desert me, please.
All right, Aunt. But we must think of at least two more men.
I hope you're not going to suggest Mr. Rosedale.
Certainly not. But it would probably please Jack. You remember I told you he was at the wedding, and he gave them a most spectacular present.
Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that, as I've never met the man. Will you fix a day, Lily, and send out the invitations? Perhaps you would like to ask the Trenors. They were at the wedding, weren't they?
I'll think about it, Aunt. Yes, Gus was at the wedding, but I don't think Judy was. It would be nice to see her again.
Ask them, then. If Judy doesn't want to come to town, would he come alone?
Gus is very dull on his own. I don't think we should have him without Judy.
Well, do what you think best, Lily. As for me, I don't know how I'm going to face Grace Stepney.
As Mrs. Peniston had admitted to Lily, she had imprudently suggested to her cousin Grace Stepney that as the dinner was to be a family affair, she might be included in it. For a week, the prospect had lit up Grace's colorless existence. Then, Mrs. Peniston had made it clear that it would be more convenient to have her another day. Grace was well aware that she had Lily to thank for this, and dull resentment was turned to active animosity, an animosity which prompted her to speak unwisely to her cousin Julia on her next visit.
Gus Trenor, my dear Grace, do you know what you are saying? Lily and Gus Trenor? It's unthinkable. How dare you?
Oh, dear cousin Julia, of course, I don't mean
I don't know what you do mean. Such things were never heard of in my day. And my own niece. I don't understand you, Grace. Do people say he's in love with her?
Oh, you know, people always say unpleasant things. And the fact is, they are a great deal together. A friend of mine met them the other afternoon in the park. Quite late.
How late?
Well, after the lamps were lit. It's a pity Lily makes herself so conspicuous.
Conspicuous? Hmm. What sort of things do they say? Tell me, Grace. Is it that he means to get a divorce and marry her?
Oh, dear me, no. Oh, no, he would never do that. It's a flirtation, nothing more.
A flirtation? Between my niece and a married man? Do you mean to tell me that with Lily's looks and advantages, she can find no better use for her time than to waste it on a fat, stupid man who is almost old enough to be her father?
That's the worst of it, cousin. People say she isn't wasting her time. Everyone knows, as you say, that Lily is too handsome and charming to devote herself to a man like Gus Trenor. Unless
what exactly?
Unless there are material advantages to be gained by making herself agreeable to him.
Grace Stepney, if you take pleasure in annoying me by mysterious insinuations, you might have chosen a more suitable time than just as I am recovering from the strain of giving a large dinner party.
I don't know why I should be accused of taking pleasures in telling you about Lily. I was sure I wouldn't get any thanks for it, but I have some family feeling left. And as you are the only person who has any authority over her, I thought you ought to know what is being said.
Very considerate of you. But what I complain of is that you haven't told me yet what is being said.
I didn't suppose I should have to put it so plainly. People say Gus Trenor pays her bills.
Pays her bills? Her bills? Oh, my dear Grace,
I can't imagine where you have picked up such rubbish.
It isn't.
It may interest you to know that Lily has her own income, and I provide for her very handsomely.
Well, we all know that. But Lily wears a great many smart gowns.
I like her to be well-dressed. It's only suitable. But perhaps you don't understand.
And then there are her gambling debts besides.
Gambling debts? Lily?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone out of your mind? What do you mean by her gambling debts?
Simply that if one plays cards for money in Lily's set, one is liable to lose a great deal. And I don't suppose Lily always wins.
Who told you that my niece plays cards for money?
Mercy, Cousin Julia. Don't look at me as if I were trying to put you against her.
I must say it looks very much like it.
Well, everybody knows that she is crazy about bridge. Mrs. Grice told me herself that it was her gambling that frightened Percy. It seems he was really taken with her at first, but of course among Lily's friends it's quite the custom for girls to play for money. In fact, people are inclined to excuse her on that account.
Excuse her? Excuse her for what, may I ask?
For being hard up, of course, and accepting attentions from men like Gus Trenor and George Dorset.
George Dorset? Is there anyone else? I should like to know the worst, if you please.
Oh, don't put it that way, cousin. Lately, Lily has been a good deal with the Dorsets.
They are old friends.
Well, of course they are. And George seems to admire her. But that's only natural.
You have been doing your best to make it seem most unnatural.
Well, I'm sure there's no truth in the horrid things people say.
That's hardly the impression you gave me, Grace.
But, Cousin Julia, don't you realize that Lily has been spending a great deal of money this winter? Evie Van Osburgh was at Celeste's ordering her trousseau the other day.
Is the wedding date fixed, then?
Yes, it takes place next month. The invitations are about to go out. But Evie told me that Celeste showed her the most exquisite things she was just sending home to Lily.
Very indiscreet of Celeste.
And people say that Judy Trenor has quarreled with her on account of Gus.
I don't think I can stand any more, Grace. I think I shall have to lie down.
Well, Cousin Julia, I'm sorry I spoke, though I only meant it as a kindness.
Thank you, Grace. Your kindness is touching.
Mrs. Peniston's genuine incredulity enabled her to dismiss Grace Stepney with disdain, but her visitor's insinuations did not glide off as quickly as she expected. However, to broach the subject to Lily might provoke a scene, and a scene was something Mrs. Peniston would go to great lengths to avoid. For the time being, then, she said nothing, and Lily remained ignorant of the hate in Grace Stepney's heart.